You want to tell a story?
No, you.
So it's technically seven, but we started as like a handyman kind of deal. So first job I ever actually had for this kind of thing was I helped my dad clean his yard. So I took a bunch of rocks from his yard, a bunch of lava rock, and I tossed it in the back of a truck. And I sold it to a neighbor, used rock. I tried to clean it, and I just shoveled it like four different times into the back of the truck. Sold it used for the same price they could have bought it new. I felt bad because I didn't know then, but after a while I figured out, oh, okay, they could have just bought this without buying it. But
Yeah, but
I
the
figured
work
they
that
were just
you
trying
put
to,
in.
yeah, they were just trying to help me out. And
So
from
you're just
there,
doing the labor.
yeah. And then I just did like a cleanup and we did small projects. And then from there we just started.
So when was that?
That was 2017.
And then so if we're when was that incorporated?
So we're an S Corp. We were incorporated back in 2020, but we didn't change the name to Afuera until last year. So it was Loera's, which is my last name. And it was just Loera's Landscaping from like 2017 to like 2023 last year.
Did you do kind of like the maintenance route at all?
It was like one-time cleanups. So we would either do like the springtime or the fall, spring, whatever cleanups, and then try to get in the maintenance game. You need a lot of guys, you need a lot of trucks, you need a lot of equipment up front, and I didn't get a loan for that, so I just stuck to like trying to get better at doing installs. We would do random little patios, like concrete stuff, you know.
How are you getting all those jobs?
At first, it was Home Advisor and like Facebook. I would just post. I had a couple buddies that would come here, babe. Refer us out to friends.
Hey.
And come here, Leska.
Come
Sorry, guys. We have the
on.
supervisor on site.
Yeah. No, yeah. If you're not watching, you need to go watch on YouTube because we got Alaska here. They're beautiful husky.
But yeah, no. It was just word of mouth first. We had a lot of Home Advisor stuff. And then obviously, if anybody knows, Home Advisor's like a lot of people just kind of trying to get pricing. You know, you're not going to get quality. If you get quality leads, they're for small jobs. They're not like installs like this.
And you're competing quite a bit too.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
you're competing with everybody. And especially like people that are not licensed. They've done a good job now of filtering people that, you know, need a license or have a license. But back in the day, it was like,
So, Home Advisor, this was still like 2018, 2019, about.
when it first started, yeah.
So, when did you come on?
Actually, in the beginning.
Come here, let's
So,
go.
the very first cleanup, him and I, it was him and I only for the first like 4 years, 5 years, kind of. Like, even on some installs, actually.
You were doing it?
Yeah, there was nights where we would be in the summer when the sun didn't go down till 9:30. Start, 7, 8 a.m. out there till 10 o'clock at night doing the cleanup, just the two of us. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it takes,
Yeah.
know?
Our
So,
first paver job was us.
how'd you learn the pavers?
How did we land her?
People find us because of our reviews, even now. But this woman found us because of the reviews, and it was a cleanup. And she's like, I've always wanted pavers in this area. And we're like, we could do it.
How'd you learn how to do it?
Google.
YouTube and
YouTube.
Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we actually, the first one we ever did, I'm sure it's still there though, but we did, you know, that like, what is it called? Veg bond, like the plastic, the rubber grass border that you can like stake
Oh,
down
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
from Home Depot. We used like three of those to build up a step and then kept it contained and put the base in and sand, and then we just put the pavers in.
So you just told him yes, gave him a price. Did you make money on it at least, or no?
Who
A little
knows?
bit, probably. It probably was like, you know, a couple $100 for the profit for us.
Yeah, considering it was just us and the material costs, like whatever we made was profit,
Yeah, that's crazy. And then, so when did you start designing? Because that's what, like, really what you guys I feel like are known for in Reno are the design and build aspect. Because I don't really know. I mean, we've called a lot of contractors here, because we got a couple custom designs here, and then so we had to go find some contractors. So, like, Trent White or TJ's Landscaping, I think, is one guy, DA Landscaping. And we've called some other people, but no one's really doing designs. So when did you start doing the design part of it?
3 years ago? Four? I could tell you our first one, it was terrible.
Yeah. On SketchUp or what?
No, hand-drawn.
Hand-drawn?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on, I think I drew it and then she drew it and we did it on like concepts or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just sent it out and did like a, like was an it an HOA submittal?
Yeah, my very first HOA application. It was a hand-drawn one. I colored and everything.
Yeah. And it worked, right?
It worked, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then from there, like, did you teach yourself a program?
Yeah. So I paid for a lot of courses for things, and I just don't learn very well that way when it comes to, like, memorizing things.
Yeah.
And they just, like, go so fast that you can't really, like, do it as they teach you, because then you can't see, like, all the little tiny buttons that they're telling you to push. So I took those courses.
What program was that for?
It was for SketchUp. Okay, SketchUp and Dynascape. And wasted that money, to tell you the truth. I mean, I still have the lessons, like, that I could refer to, but yeah. I learned over the course of a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Same with you.
What was the course?
I think SketchUp University and then Dynascape, like, has in-house instructors.
So SketchUp University, that's one they offer, right? Because I did buy one, SketchUp School.
Yeah, something like that.
And that was actually pretty good, I thought.
Did you have, like, a basic understanding of SketchUp first?
No.
Oh. Well, good for you.
I knew nothing at all. I taught myself VIP 3D. And actually, I think I had a buddy who was using it, who was a pool designer.
Yeah.
And so we actually sold a really big project at the time, and I went to his house, and we paid him to do the design and mm-hmm. help us out. And so I kind of learned how to do it through him. And then, yeah, just YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no good way to learn things other than just try it, learn from experience.
Yeah. I basically was like just clicking buttons, trying to figure out how to do what I wanted to do in my head. Didn't even know if it was like a thing that the program could do.
Yeah.
And then if I couldn't figure it out, I would Google it.
SketchUp's a little more difficult though, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because it gets really intense when you start combining shapes and all that stuff.
Yeah. If you don't, you know, if you don't connect your planes correctly, you're so screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets all weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you start learning that?
Last year.
Oh, last year. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so then let's go back to like 2020, 2021. You guys probably blew up a little bit then, huh?
No.
No?
Sort of.
2020? 2020 was a decent year.
Because I feel like 2020 for landscaping
everybody
was pretty
good. Yeah.
Everyone's at home, you know? And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just like, it was pretty good, you know? People could get pretty low rates on loans. They wanted to do some stuff. So what was 2020 like?
Did we install in 2020?
We did install in 2020. Our first job, real job, was in 2020. It
was
Bailey.
Oh, Christina. Uh-huh.
Yeah. The beginning of 2020, the spring of 2020, we had a small landscape trailer that we would do cleanups in.
Uh-huh.
We would just haul it around. That thing got smashed in, and then we got paid out for it, and we thought we were super lucky. So we had a little bit of reserves, and then all of a sudden we got a lead for a project, which was a pergola, pavers, retaining wall, small lot. It was like Smith.
Yeah.
But basically the side yard was towards the back. So, you know, still big enough to do what we did, but that was our first real install.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had to sub it out because I needed guys to help me screed and finish and cut because I was just by myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jamie would help me out.
Where'd you find guys?
Oh man,
it's been hit and miss since 2020.
Yeah.
Up until now.
Dude, the riffraff that we had to go through to get a quality staff has been just torture.
Yeah.
People doing drugs on the job site.
Yeah.
Like, people no-showing. Like, I moved 10 yards of DG by myself in July because three guys
this
we hired
year?
Didn't show up.
No.
Oh, like 2020 July?
2021, I think.
That's probably 21.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good workout, though.
It was, yeah.
Just put your head down and got to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's tough. I want to talk about that too, how to find good guys for you guys, because I know that's a tough thing. But so 2020, I mean, if you don't mind, like financially, are you guys open to sharing that?
Yeah.
Like financials?
Yeah.
Like Because 2020 was first real install.
Yeah.
You were saying. What did you guys end up doing revenue-wise that year?
Were we even green?
No, I don't think we've been green up until these last two seasons. We may have broke even 21.
But you were able to pay yourself, right?
Huh?
You're able to pay yourself.
If you're paying yourself, for us, that was like a success. Yeah. I mean, if we walked away with money to pay rent and bills and food, we were like,
that's
super
most
stuff.
Business owners too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And we had five dogs to feed.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah. No, financials, dude, I'd have to look at it, but I think in 2020, probably 100,000.
Really?
In sales, maybe, if we were lucky.
Yeah, because I think our first couple of years were like 45K, 55K.
Yeah, it was just all clean.
And that was all you were doing?
It was like basically a one-person salary.
Oh, my God. The first time we took a check for like over $1,000, we were like,
so stoked.
Who would give us this much money?
How old are you guys?
I'm 34. You're 40?
I just turned 40. Yeah.
40? Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 28. Yeah.
There's actually a lot of guys that we know now that are early 20s that have been doing this for a little bit.
Yeah, how old's Sam?
Sam's about 27, 26.
Is he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to work with him.
Oh, dude, he's great.
We're trying.
One point, Will. Zen talked to him recently.
Yeah.
And just said, you know, ready. He said, I don't have too many right now. Like,
yeah.
And I get it. He's a designer, you know? So, like, for him, you know, if he's only taking on a couple, like, I understand. But at some point, yeah.
He's already basically at the point where he's got multiple jobs at once, but he's just managing the manager. So he's got his foreman is the project manager, and then all of his guys are subs.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, he's subbed everything out now. And he's got basically there are a bunch of buddies that we all know, different contractors. And then he just passes them work and keeps everybody busy. And then he kind of just backs away and does the design.
He's got a good setup.
Yeah, he really likes the design part, but like I'm a big advocate for you because as a designer myself, we went back and forth like, you know, should we hand this over? Like, this is our identity. Like, this is what we're good at. How much control are we going to have? Like, this is a huge risk for us, but it turned out to be a great reward, especially for me to step away from being at the computer 24/7.
Takes a lot of time.
So much time.
I think what helps too is just that I don't want to take over your stuff, or we don't want to take it, like, we just want to help so you can have the vision still, you know, and we do for the most part try to follow the vision and give our input here and there, but I think that's helpful, you know, and there's more people who like that we'll be able to help, you know, something I've been thinking about, and we don't even have to keep this in here, or we can, but you know, my goal next year is I would love to do like a million in recurring. You know, so that'd be 26 contractors at $3,500 a month.
Dang.
Right? 26 people. So for me, it's like there's 300 million people in America. We only need to find 26. 26 of them. You know? It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for you guys, like, so you did 100K, you have five dogs to feed, just the two of you.
Plus the truck payment.
All your payments. You know, again, you're like, you know, living frugal, most likely. Right? Like, what was the thought process of like continuing to keep going? Because I think that's where most people just like stop or go get a job. Like, what was the conversations like then?
We've had like conversations about we're really stressed. Like, is this filling our cup, you know, emotionally or whatever? But it was never like, oh, should we do something else? I don't think that was ever on the table really, because we don't like working for other people.
Yeah.
He can't work for anybody else.
Yeah.
You should ask him about all his other jobs.
That's pretty hard. I'll go into that later. But
yeah, please do.
Basically, I mean, I think I'm the one that's had the most emotional up and down with it.
Yeah.
When we started it, Jamie was bartending at the time. I just quit my last job. I was working at a demo company in town, and I was going to be a builder. Like, I wanted to be a builder.
Yeah, that was so your first construction job.
Huh?
Home builder?
Like a GC, yeah. And that's still the goal in the cards for us. Like, at some point, Jamie is going to design homes for us, or, you know, with your help. And yeah, we're going to design homes.
I love that.
And have a GC license,
I
want to
do that
dude.
So bad.
Yeah.
I want to do spec homes really bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
So bad. because I think the design is where they lack and the landscaping is where they lack too.
Wait, you know? Great, totally.
We'll get into that, Mark, but keep going. So,
so you
put what was it?
The demo company?
Demo, yeah.
Yeah, so I was doing demo. They, at that time, they did like the Western Nevada Supply, which is now expanded. We were expanding it, so we demoed that whole section, getting it prepped for them to build on top of that.
Yeah.
The Nugget was getting revamped.
The Nugget, yeah.
So
what,
it was a
what
cool
were you getting paid there? $16.50?
$16 an hour.
Yeah.
And so that time it was like, you know, making now like $30 an hour, $27.50
uh-huh.
at that point. dude, I've had jobs from valet. I've worked with my pops as a
loan officer.
Loan processor. Yeah. I was going to become a loan officer. I've worked for the county.
Not a paperwork guy.
Well,
actually, he could be good at it.
I'm really good at it. I just cannot sit at a computer for more than 2 hours, dude.
He has the intellect for, the detail, but, yeah.
I lose my shit, dude. Like, I'm really good at, okay, I have to check this portion of the contract. This has to be correct. Or, I know what I'm looking for. I can't do clerical shit, though. I can't, sit there and,
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of the reason why we do this and I do this. I have to drive around and check on the guys. Or I have to have a goal, or I have to have something to chase. Otherwise, dude, I'm just depressed, you know?
That's actually a struggle for me, too, in the design, world. Sitting at the computer, the whole time. The middle process of the design kind of gets, tedious.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I totally. So that's why we have it set up the way that we do. We couldn't have so many designers. But now we have it set up where we have somebody do the house model, and then we have somebody do the design, and then somebody do the plans,
yeah.
so that they're excited each step of the way, you know?
Because
otherwise, you finish the house model, you put in on all this grueling effort, and then you're supposed to start the design. How are you supposed to be creative?
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult, so.
That part's rough.
I totally understand that. So no conversations about ever doing anything else. So you guys are just all in.
Conversations about how to progress and what the next evolution of the business would be in the future. We have those conversations a lot.
So the goal is to be do custom homes one day, but as far as the landscaping company, did you set yearly goals or a 5-year plan?
Hiring a designer is expensive, but not having one is costing you even more. What if you could provide stunning designs without breaking the bank? With our pro membership, you're gonna receive a full design team for a fraction of the cost. Our detailed 3D designs and precise 2D construction plans are gonna help you estimate more accurately, win the trust of homeowners, and eliminate change orders. We make it super easy. We're gonna deliver your design and plan for all of your estimates in less than a week. Our designs are gonna help you estimate more accurately, sell with more confidence, and execute the job with precision, leaving you more happy customers and in turn, more opportunities. If you're ready to grow your business and make more money, go to yourhavendesign.com to learn more about the pro membership.
Or anything?
Is that a big plan?
Or
that's something that I'm gonna work on, really getting in more of the details. I finally created an employee handbook. You know, it's been however long. I think because we've had so many people that have come and gone, I've never said, okay, now I can see us grow from here.
Yeah.
It was always just a battle. Last year, I was working the entire year, the year before that, the entire year, and the guys we had, one of the guys lasted maybe 6 months. And we had a second guy that came from the year before. He was our foreman, and it was tough, dude. He knows what he's doing, but he's old school.
You should throw that on your hat.
Yeah.
I
just don't want to.
What? This year's the first year that I haven't put in any physical labor on a job site.
Hopefully the volume before wasn't too low.
We'll
figure it out.
It'll be good.
If not, we can do the podcast
again. I'll pump it up too.
Okay.
You guys can come to Austin too.
Dude, we should do that.
Come check it out. It's nice.
What was I talking about?
Foreman.
Yeah,
dude. Finally I had an employee handbook because now I can see, okay, we can scale from here. We have one team, solid team.
So why did you feel like you could scale? Because you had that team or
Yeah, because now I can step away.
So how are the sales going? And how are you getting all these deals?
I'd have to leave the job sites, go to the consultations with her, we'd go do estimates.
Come
and then
back,
how are you getting leads
done
at that point?
For some reason, in the last couple years, through Google, like just people through our website, it still trickles, dude. We're not generating the leads we should be generating. That's the biggest problem with our business. Any business can be successful, but in order to stay successful, you always have to have people coming in the door. You always have to be marketing, branding, and that's one thing we're working on this year. We finally got the uniforms with the names on them. We're getting the hats made. Like, the thing is, we're really picky, and for now, we stayed stuck on having just a sans serif name until we create something, right? And you know, like, you go through hundreds of iterations of logos. You'll keep one for a while, and then you're like, I gotta switch it up, dude, you know?
Yeah. Did I show you the one that we just got back?
She told me about it.
Yeah, I'll show it to you. It's cool. Yeah. I'm excited about it. Finally. I just want something you can have forever. I think that's probably what you're looking for, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But I think the sans serif is a good way to go.
It's clean, dude, yeah.
Yeah. And just keep it forever.
Yeah, I mean, that one, I know we'll always rotate regardless of what we have.
Yeah.
You know?
So were you getting a lot of referrals last couple of years, or just like...
I don't think we've had as many referrals as we'd like.
People will like happily refer us, but the problem is like, who really needs that like echelon of landscaping all the time? Not a lot of people, yeah. You know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, even just a standard project. Like, and when I mean standard, I'm talking like 50K or less, because there's projects, once you get 50 and beyond, or even a quarter million plus, you start getting into other worlds.
Totally.
Like, people that have that kind of money to toss for their backyard.
Dude, Sharon, crazy.
That's insane, dude.
Crazy. She's making a statement.
Yeah.
With her life. You know?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's freaking amazing. But yeah, you're totally right. I mean, it's even 50 grand. Sometimes I get blown away. Like,
yeah.
You know, people wanting to, that's just, landscaping is like a luxury, you know?
Absolutely.
It is just a little cherry on top that, you know, you're throwing 50 grand at.
Yeah.
But it really can make a big difference, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of in our mission statement, like, to enrich people's lives through what we do.
Yeah.
Because I have a background in psychology, and I, like, really believe that your connection to nature and your environment, like, has a huge impact on your emotional being. So. Yes.
It's true, yeah. I mean, think about anybody that, when they buy a house, even if it's, like, there's been so many since 2020, so many track homes being built.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's exploded. The money's exploded. We basically had double the amount of money that's ever been printed in the last 4 years in circulation and then back out.
Yeah.
So that whole ride that everybody's ridden, buying a home, high interest rates started climbing up. Now they're starting to come down a little bit. Everybody's freaking out a little bit and it's starting to plateau. Yeah. Like, that whole roller coaster still affected even contractors to the point where their pricing, they had to charge a certain price point, even at the low price points. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, the guys that had the lowest price points, they'll stay busy, but they're doing smaller work.
They're treading
water.
That's
where the niche stays at, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's...
Do you guys have a niche, you think, right now, or no?
I think we're building one.
Yeah. What do you want it to be?
I think, honestly, where we feel that we belong is Sharon's jobs, or, like, a step below, like, as consistent.
Yeah.
But we want bangers, dude.
That's the goal.
Like, I feel like there's a certain clientele that's still around here from Tahoe and the surrounding areas, and even coming from Cali, wherever they're coming from, Washington. People move here from Chicago.
Yeah.
And their money goes further here. Mm-hmm. But that's the catch-22. Like, it's still expensive here, you know?
Yeah.
To be a contractor, and you have to charge that.
Totally.
It's not like it was, where you can sell your home for double or triple, come here, and pay 2020, 2019 prices in Reno for landscaping.
It's blown up like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reno's insane.
Yeah.
I know just from Kyle, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the average home price is like 600 grand, right?
It's so high. I think it's a little above that last time I checked, yeah.
The stats will say lower than that for the median, but what we've seen for like the average home, it's like 500-600 plus easy.
Yeah.
You know? And that's everywhere that's a small town USA.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you start getting into bigger cities, 1.5 to 3 million for a home. Like, mm-hmm. a home. Just,
yeah.
You know, like,
Austin's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the median price has gone down pretty decent amount. I think it's around like 500,000.
Yeah.
That's because there's so many houses.
Yeah. Oh, so we have an inventory problem here.
There's just, yeah. That's why all these Toll Brothers is crushing. When I lived here, when I went to college here, I worked for, Cody Allen Pools, and I cleaned pools, and I remember I cleaned those model homes for Toll Brothers. And now when we went there for Smith, I was like, wow, this is nuts. It's just insane. But yeah, in Austin, there's a problem of selling the million-dollar houses. They just can't get them off. There's so many listed. It's insane.
That's where we're going to, I feel like, honestly, that's where the market's going to start to change a bit. I think it's going to stay consistent with the lower price point homes, the track homes. Those budgets are going to always stay there.
Yeah.
I think the middle ground is going to fluctuate.
Which is such a terrible move by the builder, in my opinion. I feel like every builder makes that mistake. So we do a lot of stuff with builders, and their landscaping budgets are embarrassing, honestly.
We've bid on some commercial things for, like, Ryder. It was like, how do you even make a profit with
them? I think they expected us to be at, like, $2,500 a front yard.
Yeah. It's like, dude, and why are you wanting your... Like, yeah, you just want to get these houses out, but, like, you can provide so much value with the landscape. Really.
And that's one thing, like, with us talking about being GCs, we don't want to... I mean... Everybody wants to be rich at some point, right? Or they want to, like, they have huge goals of being financially stable or wealthy. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain way that you can do it that's almost like a punk way to do it, right? Like, there's a resistance to getting rich to where you can still fill in a gap within your niche, but do it with, like, morality in a way, you know? Like, you can provide, if you're going to start providing front yards for track homes, and you can get away with, like, financing it within the build of their home, but then give them a better rate, you're able to then provide more value to them. Yeah, they're going to finance it and accrue interest, but at the same time, it's hopefully not as much as what, like, you would do for a standard loan if it's in-house.
I like that.
But then you have to rally investors behind that, and it's more of like a movement, you know, like, people have to back that idea instead of just be looking for that dollar, you know? Because at the end of the day, everybody's looking for dollars, dude.
No, totally.
But there's different ways to do it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'm big into real estate. That's what I like too. So now you have like a couple guys, right? Full time.
Yeah, we got four guys right now.
Nice.
We had.
So how'd you find them?
It was super random, huh?
We needed people. I was looking on Indeed. One of the guys had an application on Indeed. I called him and he didn't speak any English. He put his friend on the phone who spoke a little English. Then they put their girlfriend on the phone and she spoke English. And so I set up an interview for one of them and then they called me back, the girlfriend did, and she said, hey, can my husband or my boyfriend's friend come to the interview? I was like, well, do they have experience? She said, yeah. So that's what we got, two of them.
Nice.
And then those two recommended the other two and the four of them worked at a different company together.
Uh-huh.
And then they all left that company at the same time, but it's a good company here, like probably our closest competition.
Really?
And our eyes, I mean, the Fire Sky.
Fire Sky
Outdoor. They do good work. So he's a landscape architect, the owner, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was primarily, from what I understand, in Cali first. Then he worked for some companies in town as an architect or as a designer.
Uh-huh.
And then years later, he just got his own crews. That company, I think, was changing. And then he started building that. And now they're like a $10 million plus, from what I understand, a year company.
Yeah. And they're expanding to Phoenix because they're going to do pools there.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
But in our eyes, even though we're like a tadpole compared to them.
Yeah.
I feel like the vision that is with you guys too, like the vision that we're able to create as a Fuera through designs and what we're trying to pull from all these different styles and regions, like all the things that we see and we want to implement them here. I think we're competing with them on that aspect
and the
ability to build quality stuff.
I totally agree. I think what's the most is building the right product, right? That's what's most important.
No.
It's like you have to put out a good product, because I've said this in the last, I think, both of the other podcasts I did, but Alex Hormozi has a saying where he says, you only sell because you don't know how to market, and you only market because you don't know how to build a product, because the product is what gets you the referrals. And there's, you know, there's like five ways of getting leads, right? Like the cold outreach, social media organic, social media ads, I don't know the fourth one, but then the last one's referrals. And referrals is the only one that's quadratic or you know, one turns into two turns into four. Everyone else is one to one.
It's a multiple,
yeah. You know, and that's what it comes from, building that good product. So that's super important, I think, to have those good guys.
Yeah.
Because that's what really changes the game, right? But I do think with your guys' vision and the design, that is what sets apart. Most people aren't doing that. They're just not providing it. So you just, you know, you build trust and confidence in the homeowner by providing that. And that's what I think the game changer is.
You had asked us, like, what our identity, what we want our identity to be, or what our niche would be.
Yeah.
And he said we want bangers. But I think also, at least from my perspective, it's important to me to not have, like, one design style or one product that we pump out all the time. Like,
yeah.
I love design in any form, and so does he. And so we just want to be good designers at our core, no matter what style that client wants.
Yeah, I like that too. Totally. Yeah, that's important.
So part of our mission statement, the full mission statement, I don't know if you remember, enrich people's lives by providing, connecting them through nature, through biophilic design.
Enrich people's lives by connecting them to nature. And
when she told me biophilic, I was like, what does that mean? So
that's connecting people.
Yeah, biophilic design is design that is built around nature. Nature is harmonious with the designs. So you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, that's cool.
But if you get, so you can either get super philosophical or literal, like where we're sitting at, right? It's open. We got stuff behind us. It feels calming. But if you do it to where you tap into the psychology of it too, that's kind of what,
yeah,
you know, we want to encompass with that.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So how's like, so last year obviously was better than 2020, and the year before that was better than that.
It's been better every year, yeah.
So like, and obviously, you know, you did this handbook, you know, you have a mission statement. So where are you learning all these things like about business?
Ourselves. We're slowly just, I understand how systems should work. Whether or not the system is right, that's always my job to figure out.
Yeah.
From the guys to what they're trained on in the past and how we can be better at how we install stuff, how we catch things, from the things they wear and how it affects them without them knowing, like subconsciously, like if it's too hot or too cold.
Yeah.
There's always systems from the staff to the design stuff that we pass to you guys to the way we consult with clients. And so I think my job is just creating better systems. And so when I see that there's a void, I'm like, okay, well, how am I going to solve that? First of all, if I'm creating an employee handbook, it's because the guys, even though it's obvious to me, it's probably not obvious to everyone.
Yeah, totally.
And that's one thing I'm learning about myself. To me, I see the vision. And I'm like a bulldozer, dude. I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
And I'll just pull people with me, even if they're scared. And by the time they get halfway there, they're like, oh, shit. Like, okay, now let's go.
Now I get it.
They have to see it. But I see it, like, from miles away. And I think most people, they have different ways of how they work, different visions. And to be cohesive, you have to create a system for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, you know, I'm supposed to be in the company.
He has a really good head for business. Like, nobody ever taught him the things that he knows. He either instinctively knows what needs to be done and he just does it, or he like gets curious and he goes online, he goes on YouTube, he goes, you know, social media or whatever to investigate like how to make the business better, mm-hmm. or like what makes a business good. So the combination of his like innate understanding of business and then also his curiosity, like he is making something just by his sheer will. It's crazy. Like, I'm super creative and I like relate to people really easily, and like those are my strengths, but like he's the business head for sure.
You guys have done insane networking.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was trying to push you towards a little bit, just like with how you guys have learned from other people too. I feel like that's a lack in a lot of landscapers and construction and just like the blue collar work is like,
really,
they just want to go do their work and then go home. But like, I think meeting other people who are doing it, also having the abundance mindset, right? Like, you know, there's other landscaping companies. Of course, there's going to be people who sell deals, but like, there's enough for everyone for sure.
Absolutely.
You know? So as far as the networking goes, like when did you really start doing a lot of that?
Last year. I don't think we networked a lot before. I think part of the reason why I didn't expand on reaching out to people and like learning more things. I mean, I did a little bit, but not like I've done the last year or two. The ability to step away and like see everything as a whole clears my head enough to then understand now we need to like spread the love and be a part of a group. Mm-hmm. You know, like Reno, I feel like not a lot of contractors in town really communicate or mesh like that.
Totally.
And so we found a group with Sam. I think I told you about it, mm-hmm. the dirt group. And it's just a bunch of guys that think the same way. Like, yeah, everybody's different. But you get further by helping each other out.
Totally.
And I think that's something that I personally want to start implementing in town. I feel like everybody's afraid. Most people are afraid that you're going to steal their work or like, you know, that abundance mentality that there's enough, dude.
Totally.
But we all, if we all as contractors or as whatever we are, artists, if we all get better together, we're providing value for the community too, for all of our clients.
Definitely.
And we're teaching and evolving the whole game. Like,
yeah,
that's the point, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
It makes no sense to just be successful for yourself, dude.
So are you going to start like a group here, you think?
Maybe. I mean, I think like I personally was trying to get a bunch of vendors involved after going to Bend for that event I went to. It's so last minute, dude, but I'm just going to start inviting people like, hey, if you want to on social media, you want to learn about water features, come check out our job site.
Yeah.
We're going to have landscape with Dylan, like help us build the water feature so he can show people. I'm going to try to get Romex. I don't know if you heard of Romex. Mm-hmm. It's a permeable like poly sand and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah. You're yeah, telling me that. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get them to come with us to show my guys specifically. Like I know how to do it,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I want my guys to feel like we have professionals
yeah.
that are going to show them the right way.
Yeah.
Anything like from, you know, learning different things about water features, permeable products, manufacturers doing equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just needed in the community, dude. And there's the good thing is there's a lot of younger kids now. Social yeah. media is their thing. Like, you know, engagement is the thing.
Totally.
And if we can all engage with each other, dude, that's,
yeah,
you know.
So the first one will be like Sharon's kind of what the front yard.
Yeah, I'm going to try to push for just at least the water feature.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just not like her work, but like a group get together type thing.
Yeah, just yeah. have whoever can come. Yeah, if it's other contractors or other people, DIYers, whatever, you know, hopefully it's not so big that we have to shut the street down, but
that'd be cool though.
There's room though.
I think she's cool with it. We asked her, yeah.
And they're on a cul-de-sac, so
yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. We did an event in Reno. I mean, in Austin. Yeah, we called it Builder's Brew. And I just bought a bunch of beer and pizzas for a bunch of contractors and just invited them. And this was before we started doing the pro membership thing. But I think it was really good because a lot of people learned from each other, you know. I didn't have any structure to it at all. I just was like, let's see how it goes. But we all sat, you know, kind of in a circle and just talked. Everyone networked. And I know a lot of guys, like, you know, a guy named Rob, who's a paver guy, connected with our first pro member, Nicholas, and he does all his pavers now, you know? And then there was a turf company who, I forget his name. Chris, I think. Yeah, he was incredible because he just wanted to share knowledge and he's big on social media, right? So he just shared a bunch of knowledge for that. And like, I think that's good. It's needed, you know?
Reno, I feel like Reno is unique because a lot of the contractors around here for landscaping, they do everything. It's like, you know, some people only do pavers and some people will only do turf, but here all the big names do everything. So like when we're trying to network and connect, at least the last couple of years, we've gotten a lot of like weird looks and kind of people are very closed off.
Yeah, they're missing out though.
Yeah. It may be because we were like new and
just
people
random,
were like, who are
like,
these kids?
Team, you know? I don't know where they're like, who are you, dude? What are you doing? You know?
But I would call like when we were still trying to learn, this is maybe like 3 years ago, Reno Green, huge company here, right? I called them. I asked for the owners because I know the owners' names and I left messages for them. I'm like, hey, like I'm just this person that knows a little bit about landscaping and I would love to just talk to you about how you got your business where it is, ask you some questions, and never got a call back.
Yeah. I don't care about helping, you know? I feel like this, having the little podcast is a good way because it's like, hey, I want to share your story, but really I'm learning. Yeah. You know, really, I'm just learning from you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and well, other people are learning too, which is great.
Well, that's the thing with that dirt group is the same thing. That's everything we just said right now is that. That's the group. That's
awesome. I love that group, actually.
There we have a turf
guy. Are they all California guys?
Most of them. We've got some guys that are in Oregon, Washington, Arizona. Gary's in the East Coast.
That's cool.
Ember and Stone.
Oh, we got some Florida
guys.
Contractors, Black Diamond.
Yeah, we'll pass you their info.
Yeah.
Are you connected with them?
Yeah.
You talked to him already?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is he going to go? Or
we just need to set up a meeting. I think it was him and his brother, right, who were doing it. So I talked to one of the guys for a while. And then, we're supposed to meet at some point, but we need to get back on that.
Social media is incredible, though, because we're talking to and friendly with and friends with, you know, people in Florida, people in New Jersey.
Yeah.
All these people that are
New Jersey guys are crazy, huh?
So good at what they do.
New Jersey guy. Yeah, I don't know if you see him, the old guy. New Jersey, something custom outdoor or something like that.
I probably follow him. Yeah.
He crushes. It's awesome. Yeah, he's a super old guy.
The East Coast, dude, hardscaping, I feel like the West Coast has a hard time competing unless it's like Seattle or L.A., the East Coast has some killers out there, dude.
San Diego's insane.
But, like, I feel like it's just a standard out there in the East Coast. Plus, they teach hardscaping in school.
Oh,
dude, they don't really do that here.
Yeah, they don't.
They use more pavers out there because of the snow. So I think, like, in the warmer places, they use a lot of concrete because it looks modern and clean.
Yeah, I hate concrete. Okay, so what about your sales? Like, how did you learn sales? And who does your sales?
I mean, we both do, but so we play good cop, bad cop. Obviously, she's the one that's like, you know, like not rough around the edges. I'm like I'll shoot the shit and I'll cuss and I'll hang out with you and I'm that guy. But when it comes down to business and numbers, I'm just, that's it. Those are the numbers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I try to understand as much as I can everybody's budgets, everybody's predicaments, and really work around it. But I negotiate super hard, dude. Like, I'm willing to buy really nice things and I'll pay more for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm, everybody does it, dude. If you're going to get a deal, you're going to work for that deal.
Totally.
And so when it comes to sales, sometimes I'll just be like, okay, now you send them a message, you talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
We just gauge on who they like more, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, I don't know if it gets confusing for clients or not that we go back and forth with communication.
I think they probably understand, yeah.
Most of the time I tell her, just do the dash and then your name so they know it's like you and not
me. So do you have a system for sales, right? You got the system for everything else, but like, do you have a system for when you get a lead, what happens?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so first thing we do, most of the time it's a referral or like if you guys pass it on, we'll reach out to them.
Uh-huh.
I do a discovery call, so I'll always talk to them over the phone. And most people would just want to rush and say, when can you come out and give me an estimate? Mm-hmm. Well, hang on a second. Let me ask you some questions. Then I start, unraveling the onion and trying to find out what they really need, what they really want, and then assess what their budget is and if it's feasible. I had a lady today, which we still set up a consultation. She had a budget of 10 grand. And I'm like, okay, what do you want to do? And she was telling me all this stuff. And like, you know, to be honest with you, any company that's not like a handyman company, you're going to spend twice that on what you're looking for. No problem, easy. But, you know, we'd be happy to help you. And just like the whole process. So it starts with us reaching out. We'll talk to them over the phone. We'll set up a consultation. So we come out and check the site. We'll do drones. We'll do photos. We'll measure. And then from there, we offer design packages. So we'll say, you know, XYZ, which one would you prefer? We believe that this one might suit you best.
How many packages do you sell?
Typically three.
We offer three, but we always sell just the one.
Which one?
Realistically.
Like it's lowest the or the middle? One.
Now it's with your guys' help, now it's the first one. We're able to, like, because of how you guys are able to help us, it's not just her, so we're able to crank out more work, which then brings down the cost of what we provide.
Yeah.
So that's helped us out a lot.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you offer three packages though?
Mm-hmm.
Good, better, best.
So that's what we do too. And I price anchor always at the high one, right? Tier three, $10,000 a month.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then I've actually decreased the value in tier one so that more people try to go tier two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Try to get them on the middle one.
Yeah.
So then you're always trying to sell the design.
Well, that's the thing. We don't, we can't, me personally, I could, and we have a good relationship where if she draws a circle, I'll copy that circle on a site without needing all the numbers. And I think that's what I was explaining. But like somebody like Manny, that's engineered background, needs to have like every triangulation of every point.
I've never met a contractor who said that.
Needy.
I was gonna say diva, but
we had inspections today, and Manny is right in this, but like he's still unhappy with some of the plans that we have because it's missing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Like holy shit.
Yeah, where did I mean, I guess he came from that landscape architect, right? So that guy had like...
Well, so he's an engineer from Mexico.
Yeah.
And he was working on like commercial city stuff. Yeah. Hundreds of people.
Yeah, it's it's
so he's got a different mindset.
You know, and, you know, like I've always said yes, and I will continue to always say yes, but it is tough on the team sometimes, so I have to keep him motivated.
I'm sorry.
And like, you know, and that, you know, that's my job, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm never like, oh man, fuck these guys, like more and more, you know. It's like, no, they're making us better. Like we want to be the best, and I want the plans to be better, because we have, you know, some of our other guys, like our guy Ray, I don't think we've even done a plan for him. He doesn't care.
That's nice.
You know, he just wants the renders and he'll go.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of managing that with the team is you know, but it's also better because it makes us better, right? But okay, so you guys selling the designs, I mean, do you ever offer it for free or no?
There's a point where we credit it depending on the budget. Like if it exceeds a certain budget, we'll say, okay, well, we'll waive or we'll credit the cost of the design if you get to this certain budget.
So yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people have a tough time selling designs. You know, I've seen, you've probably seen some of the videos I've put out on Your Haven, just like, you know, contractors making a huge mistake not selling a design or being scared to sell the design,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you get them financially, like, kind of just bought in on you guys if you can sell them a design. So how do you go about selling the design? Like, what's kind of your pitch?
I feel like it helps to build value up front when you're having the discovery call, when you're explaining and asking questions.
So how are you building value on the discovery call, you think?
Okay, so most local competitors will go out for free here. And most people, I think in general, go out for free for estimates.
Yeah.
We charge for time.
Really? How much?
So for the two of us together, we charge $150. Typically, most people, like if... Here's my thing. The way I think is, if you're going to charge a plumber $150 to come check out your pipes for a second and then tell you what's the problem and then say it's $700 to fix.
Yeah.
We have somebody that's like,
yeah, I like that.
She's, you know, she's graduated college. She's a designer. Like, so I personally don't charge for my time. I just cover her and I go with her, but she's, you know, running the
consultation. To the customer. You're saying it's $150 for us to come out.
For both of us. And what that comes with, you know, you say X, Y, Z. It's not just a number. That's where you build the value. You say, well, we'll take accurate measurements. We'll gather your site plan. We'll gather all the information that you give us to try to build a design. If you say yes to a design package, we'll waive or credit that consultation fee.
So are you dropping the price before you're building that value? Or are you saying it... Like, are you saying, here's what we do, we come out, we do this, and then it's $150, or when are you dropping price?
Yeah, so I'll drop the price.
Right after. Yeah, it really depends. Sometimes you'll say it right up front and then have the conversation, and it's fine.
Yeah, it just depends on the person. Like, you can gauge in sales specifically, the easiest way to sell something is to not have to sell it at all, right?
Yeah, totally.
That's the point. Well, how do you get to that? You have to understand what the person's actually needing from you, and then deliver that, and show them that was their decision, and it's decision.
Yeah, sometimes people don't know they need a design, right? They're just like, I need a landscaper to come out to my house, and so then we'll ask them questions like, well, it sounds like, you know, you don't know what you need and you need some help from a design professional.
Yeah,
you know, this is how we do things or whatever. But when we go out for that $150 consultation, like, we'll do a sketch really crappy sketch. Yeah. But still, it's like a site planning thing.
Share ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Troubleshoot with like what they need from their backyard, like how it could be better for them.
God, I should have done that last Saturday. I went to this guy's house, which this was the first time the pro membership has backfired. He's like, you guys, I don't think I will get the attention I need because you're focused on your contractors. He's watched all our YouTube videos. He's watched the business vlogs. You know, I'm doing like weekly vlogs. And this was the first time it kind of backfired. It was crazy.
Do you think it was true?
No, I don't think it was true at all. I think I was probably one of the only people to go out and sit with him for an hour and a half while Zen sat there video recording and I answered every single question. Tried my best to make him feel comfortable, you know, gave him great ideas. And I should have charged for that, you know, totally. And I think we should too, because really our focus really now is the pro member. Like I see that as a huge opportunity for the business to be nationwide, really be the most helpful, you know, and help take contractors' business to the next level. So if we do the one-offs, which I like, right, because we're selling the packages for $5,000, $3,500 at the lowest is what we'll sell the design package for. And dude, that during the week is like, that covers, you know, a designer for the month. That covers, you mm-hmm. know, I pay myself $5,000 a month. That's it, you mm-hmm. know? And I'm going to stay there for as long as I possibly can. So, like, selling those are amazing. So getting rid of that right now is not the best.
Yeah.
But I think when you go talk with somebody for an hour and a half, I think even just price is an indication of value as well. So just saying, hey, you know, right. $150, like they take you a little bit more serious too. So
absolutely.
And, yeah. and I think that's a great thing to do. We need to do that immediately. That's great.
I think another thing is value is perspective. Like everybody has a certain understanding or expectation of their own value.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why you need to ask the questions.
Totally.
Some people get intimidated when you ask them direct questions, and that's what I'm working on. Like, Jamie will have more tact, and that's when I say, okay, you go talk to them.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that. I just want to get to the answer. Like,
totally. I think it's a good thing.
Honestly.
I like it, yeah.
People probably buy from you also because of the confidence in that. I've sold so many deals because they're like, man, you just seem really confident.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, yeah, I've done this. So you've done this. So obviously, yeah. that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, you have to be the authority in your field, right?
Totally.
Well, actually, Sharon was talking about that yesterday or today, right?
Sure.
That she felt like the other guy just didn't have the right answers. Oh, like he was thinking about it and like
he wasn't talking. Yeah, he wasn't talking.
People feel that.
I mean, he shot himself in the foot and for the better.
Yeah, it's a big project. Better. Absolutely.
He could have really fucked that up and ruined a lot of things, you know? So I'm incredibly happy that's not the case. It sucks. I haven't talked to him. I'd like to call him, but I'm kind of waiting for him to call me.
Yeah.
I've called him so many times, blowing him up. You know, the communication for me is like the utmost importance.
Yeah.
Right? Bad communication is just bad for everything.
I think part of the thing that we sometimes do is over communicate.
Yeah, that's impossible.
No, I don't think so.
No? I feel like we do.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
I think the only place that we might over communicate is where we like will not give up a sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Dude, I
sold door-to-door solar. I wasn't leaving your house until you signed on the dot.
Yeah.
And because I was never going to see you again.
Right.
And that's how we were taught. Mm-hmm. You're taught to get inside the house because on the doorstep, you're a pest. In the house, you're a guest. Yeah. Right? And your goal is to get in the house and then, you know, build the value, overcome all their objections before you drop the price. So that when you drop the price, if you built enough value, the price is irrelevant.
Correct, yeah.
You know? And then when you know, your goal is, if you leave that, they're never calling you back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's where we kind of learned sales. Me and Zen both did it, right? Yeah. So that's, like, why, you know, I'm asking you a lot about sales because I feel like that's where a lot of contractors lack, too. Mm-hmm. And they can learn a lot. And I love what you're saying already. Process is great.
He came up with the charging for time on his own. Like, we never saw another landscape company do that.
Everybody was any contractor that I've talked to.
It sounds like you said the plumber. You're totally right. Like at my condo, you know, they said it's $85 to have him come out. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
For what?
I guess I got to do it.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's the thing is, it's especially now, dude, it's really hard to run any business and do things for free. Like, here's the thing, and I call it, it's a sleight of hand, right? Ledger de main, however you pronounce it in French. It's a sleight of hand. Somebody will say, well, it's free, but then on the back end.
There you go, bro.
Oh, whatever. On the back end, they'll charge the back end on the invoice for their time or their gas because it's built into their overhead.
Yeah.
You know? But those are things that clients don't see. It's sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's times where I've talked to a client and I said, look, there's, because they understand financing or they understand whatever. I'm like, look, the reason why we charge is to cover us. I will credit you if you move forward. It's a commitment thing. If you're committed and you don't want seven estimates and you want the right people, if we're not the right people, we will tell you up front before we show up. Mm-hmm. If we're the right people, we'll show you why.
Yeah, that's why you have the discovery call, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure we're the right fit. That's what I say every time.
We've still gone to people's houses who are like totally happy to pay the $150 consult fee. And, you know, after talking to them, we're like, you know what? We're not going to take that because we don't feel like we provided you value for this meeting. So
yeah, that's good.
Please keep your money, you know?
That's good. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do, but that's hard to do too. You
know? Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, then you're selling the design package, and then pretty much after that, like,
we're in,
you're selling
dude.
The deal.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say when we do a design, I mean, there was a couple big ones this year that, and that's another kink in the process.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you about that.
Yeah, so there's a point where we get a design, uh-huh. and we'll go through the renders, they love it. And up front, I'm starting to tell Jamie, and Jamie's doing it on her own, I'll say, talk to the clients about what this might cost mm-hmm. when you provide the render. Mm-hmm. As you're showing them on Zoom or in person, like typically now she goes in person to give them that value, and it's, you know, more comfortable. But let them know, like, most of the time they'll have that question, like, what is this going to cost? Is this within my budget? Say, this is roughly this XYZ. It's either this much over or this much under. Like, what do you want to do? And then that's where we'll do the final revisions. It's when you first present the first iteration, that is the opportunity to get any objections on price, budget, anything else out of the way.
Done.
Ever.
Totally.
And then that's when you say, okay, we're going to attack these things and get it within this budget and solve this problem, and here is the, you know,
so
the final draft.
What do you think the kink is that we're maybe not?
That sometimes, well, what do you think? It's certain things that we're missing when we get to that stage.
My failure, my most common problem as a designer is providing the exact design that people want, but not communicating like every step of the way, like, hey, we're getting outside of your budget. Hey, this is going to be way outside of your budget, because I'm so excited about the design. I'm so excited to please them with what they asked for. And then when it comes time for him to price it, they're just like, what the F, George? Like, this is so expensive, and it's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
But it's really a huge skill that you learn over time about how to design well within somebody's budget, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
And those are things you learn as you go, unless you were trained under somebody else's watch as an employee. When you're doing this on your own, you're learning as you go.
And so how do you have that budget conversation with them? Because I feel like once you sell the design, then you can really understand their budget. But if you don't sell the design for most landscapers, they're going to tell you 10 grand.
Yep.
They may have 25,
yep.
you know, they may have more, but they're just trying to, they don't want to be priced out. So like, how do you have the design, or how do you have the budget combo?
We talk about this all the time. He talks to me about it because I'm bad at it. He's good at it. But like, people hold their cards close, right? They think that we're going to take advantage of them if we know what their max budget is because we want to milk them, which, you know, that's not the case. We just want to deliver the best design that we can, and stuff's expensive. Mm-hmm. So we have to like kind of coax it out of them. Like, what's your, you know, what are you willing to spend? And if they won't tell us, then we try to like just throw out a number, and they'll either say yes to that or no to that. You know, we just kind of keep going higher and higher until they say stop.
Yeah.
But that's one way.
Basically, like, people will say, this is my limit, or they won't tell you at all. When they don't tell you at all, I'll say, okay, well, we set up a tier system. Tier one is 25 to 50K. Mm-hmm. Tier two is 50 to 150. Or let's say 25 to 100K, my bad. Now it's changed. 100 to 250. And then 250 to whatever is tier three. Which one do you think you'd be in for this project? Well, I'm leaning towards tier one for sure. Like, there's no way. Or tier three. as long as it's not 10 million, I'm good. And it's like, whoa, you know, people will tell you within a tier system, if you give them that option, and then you say, okay, out of tier one, 25 to 100, give me a barometer, like, where are you at there? And then you slowly try to find out and really get to a number, like, what is your do not exceed number? And we're not trying to, I always tell them, I'm not trying to take every dollar. I just need to make sure that we're within that. You know, otherwise we're not going to be successful. And there's cases where we'll design extravagant things, but you're not going to, it's not going to be within your budget, even if you had the cheapest contractor in the world do it. You know?
And yeah, that's a tough thing. It really is, because I want to see all these things come to life, just like you do too, you know? Every designer wants to see it all come to life. I think that that's been a tough thing for us too. I think what how we try to overcome it also, that way they're kind of prepared that it's already going to be over budget, is the conversation where you say, like, you know, look, we can design to a certain budget, but if you don't know what the budget is, let's go all in.
And scale down. Back.
Scale down.
Yeah, we say that a lot.
Which is good, but typically you're not in, you're not, you get them excited, so maybe they'll spend a little bit more.
I would say for us, it backfires when we do that.
Yeah, I feel that too.
Yeah, and that people feel like so insulted.
Insulted, like, how could this cost so much? Wow.
Yeah.
And then we itemize stuff, like, and every couple months, every 3 months, I'll ask my friends, I'll gauge the local market, like, where's everybody at on paver costs or porcelain pavers or retaining walls? I try to get CSVs from all my vendors of all the updated materials, because they'll change them six months out of the year.
Yeah.
Every 3-6 months. And now, you know, building it into a price book in a system, then you could just populate, okay, this is my overhead. This is how much it's going to cost with a markup if we mark up materials or whatever. If we don't and we're doing a family hookup, it's just time and materials, this is what it's going to cost. And I try to itemize, like, you know, paver patio, retaining wall.
So do pool. You talk about maybe how it's built?
I was going to say that we do the, like,
or items. How much time it's going to take?
Yeah, I'll typically give them, they usually ask before we go through a design. That's when they typically have that conversation. Like, how far out are you booked? How long is this going to take? And I'll give them a rough, like, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, or this one will be like 2 months.
Because I feel like maybe in the closing presentation, you know, as you have the design up, you talk really in depth about how each thing is built and how many guys and how long before you drop the price.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe help a little bit. I don't know.
But because we try to gauge the budget conversation also through items, like, okay, well, your patio is going to probably be 25K. And, you know, yeah, if you add this fire pit, it's going to be X amount of dollars. And that works fairly well until you start getting into the finer details of materials. Mm-hmm. For like, she started changing all these things, like she wanted marble here and, you know, whatever, all these expensive things. And it jacked it up from 250K to 400K. Mm-hmm. And I didn't step in between because I also didn't know. I've never built with those things before, so I couldn't even prepare her.
Yeah.
And she was just so upset.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
So what is she, what's the status with her?
I just emailed her again today. That's the one thing we're talking about. Sometimes we over-communicate. Like, I've let them breathe for the last month.
Yeah.
But at first.
You never know when they'll transact either.
Mm-hmm.
If you provided enough value, they might come back.
It could be 3 months down the road. I've had that so many times.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're ready. Yeah.
Well, the thing that gets me, though, I guess us both, is like, they're really happy with the designs. They were really happy with us as people and a company. And then when that number dropped, instead of ghosted, communicating and letting us work through the problem, like, it just cut us off. Mm-hmm. It's like, we can't solve the problem.
Did you drop the number in person?
No, we've actually talked to a lot of people about that. We just send it by email.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe that's the key. Noticed,
yeah.
Mm.
Most they can't kick us out.
I would not do that. I tell all my guys, do not do that.
Yeah. Mm.
Just because... One, well, this is a little different because you guys are selling the design, right? So you're selling the design. So now, do you tell them ownership of the design?
Yeah. So basically, when we get so the like package theirs. Done, it's theirs, and they
okay,
can
so
it out.
This is where maybe not selling the design could be a benefit, because now maybe you can even sell the design in the closing presentation. I know there's some companies who do this that I've learned from. But I tell all our pro members, all our guys, especially the ones who just asked me, like, stop emailing the estimate, because they're going to get it and then you have no control and you can't build any value in that. Set up a meeting and go back and meet with them so that you can present the design, talk about the design, give them all the information, then, you know, ask me, after everything you just heard, and I told you it's going to take 8 months with, you know, all these different things that we have to do, like, how much do you think it's going to be, you know? And then you drop price. But then if they don't like that price, you can either sell them a design or have a conversation about what the thing is.
The changes would be. You know? I think that's a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm. We've already implemented her showing the designs in person.
Yeah.
For the longest time, we would just send them off.
I mean, Zen knows too. Zen, you know, we've done it. We send an estimate out, and rarely we're selling the deal if it's not either on Zoom and I'm not letting you get off, or it's not in person, you know? Yeah. And then comes the objections, like, okay, why? My favorite close, by the way, is it's called the no close. So you go through all of it, and then you shake your head and you go, if we could do all of this for you, is there any reason at all why this wouldn't make sense for you? Nice. And you want them to say no.
Yeah.
And as soon as they say no, you high five them. Boom. Let's go. I'm excited. Come on. You know?
Sounds like a Dylan thing.
And then you're
hyped.
That's
probably a Dylan thing.
And then, you know, and then comes the real objections, which is like, we never present unless both decision makers are there, because that's a huge problem with the email.
Oh my gosh, actually so much so.
I feel like we get, when there's two decision makers, I hate it, dude.
Really?
I need somebody that's going to make the financials, like, period.
That's when you need to ask them.
Oh, yeah, we do that.
Because I never present unless both decision makers are there. Because if they're not both there, that's an out. I'm not letting them have that out,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because
it's not like I got to talk to my wife, because then I got to go, okay, well, what do you think your wife's going to say? Okay, well, other than, you know, if you're in the perfect world, if your wife loved this and it was everything she wanted, like you're saying yes, yeah, you're in.
Is money the problem?
Yeah, well, yeah, I try not to say that, because we build the value before. Right, like what?
Like a old school tough guy close.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. You're fine with the money. You got the money, brother.
Actually, that is funny. Actually,
Depends on which.
So that would just be my suggestion. But I mean, shit.
I'm gonna take it, dude.
You guys are slaying.
No, you know, we've been talking about where are we failing in the system to have people if they love everything except the price. Where did we drop
mm-hmm.
the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Did we communicate the changes? Did we have an accurate rough? Like, you can tell somebody 100K and then it ends up being 500K. Okay, yeah, definitely getting ghosted.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're saying, okay, with the pool included, it's going to be a little over 250, and then you start adding like a fireplace and a custom kitchen and like all this other artwork, okay, well, then you're starting to tack 50 here, 50 here, 50 here, 75 here. Okay, you're at, you know, 400K with the pool.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is we need to. I'm going to do that. We're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The more we show up in person like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get a lot of sales. We get a lot of clients because they like us.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's who they're buying. They're buying you guys, right?
Yeah.
And an awesome design, hopefully.
Yeah.
Right? The other thing we had tossed around, at least I have, he shut me down immediately, but I was wondering if it would be successful to sell a contract. And then it includes the design, and like we'll redesign it till we get it right within the budget. But like you're committing to us with a deposit
XYZ
for a $150,000 build or something like that. And you've seen our portfolio, you've seen our social medias, like you know what kind of company we are.
Yeah, that so might like work on bigger like tiered items though.
It's almost like a design or a cost plus type situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I get that. Some people really like cost plus. A lot of builders only do build cost plus. Custom home builders in Austin, most of them are all cost plus.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to find one that's not.
That's true.
And like, we did do a house design, and I've posted it before. Maybe you guys have seen it. I don't know. And we went through a long phase of like, do we do, you know, for the homeowner, is he going to do, you know, he wants fixed price, but all these builders are offering cost plus, and it's tough because it's the time, right? Which is what people trip out about with that. See, I don't know. I think that's still a good thing to practice. So what I learned from that OC Poolscapes in Orange County, because I called them, I was like, how do you guys do your stuff? I was like, or I acted like a homeowner, and I was like, how do you guys do your sales thing? And they're like, well, yeah, you come in, or we'll come do an estimate for you. They do it for free. But then when they present, they have them come to their office.
Mm-hmm.
And then they present the design, and then they sell the design at the end. If the estimate doesn't make sense, right? it's like, if you want to do this, it's $150,000. If not, you know, you, and you love the design, you can take it for $3,500. I like selling the design up front. I don't really like that so much. But for some of our other guys, like, who are just doing volume, like one of our pro members, Texas Turf, they're just volume, volume. And they have the sickest
office. What's Texas Turf? Who's the guy's name?
Troy Folks, Stefan Folks, Ivana Folks, or Folks family.
We have another guy, Texan something, in the group.
Yeah.
Well, I'll figure it out. I'll pass him over.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the other thing, too, that, you know, you guys should check out or watch it on YouTube, the Developers Episode 2, the one before this with Josh. He's building this insane design studio, and I tell him the same thing. He already does it. He does a great job. But, like, bring the people to your office, because right then they're building so much value, too. So that's what they're doing, is bringing it to the office. For me, I don't have an office. I work from home. You know, if you guys are the same way, it's like, go to their house, present it. I think that'll be a game changer.
That's our long-term goal.
We want to build, like, a sick design space in a yard.
Yeah, that's the way.
You know, it is the way. I mean, if you're getting to that scale and you can maintain it, you need that.
Yeah.
You can't function without
it. Your materials will be so, you know, your guys, everything will be so much better. Mm-hmm. You get all your, that's when you really start making money. He talks about it. You know, like the perforated plastic sheets for water features.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, this is how you make money. You buy it in bulk. Otherwise, you don't make money on water features. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Like he's dude, you learn so much from it. It's awesome. The podcast we did was just Zen filming me and him walk around his whole design studio.
Oh, that's 2 million cool.
He's building. Yeah.
Where's he at?
He's in Austin.
Austin?
Yeah. Guy hasn't watched news or even know who's running for president in 10 years.
I shut it off too, dude.
He doesn't give a shit. Yeah, me either. We don't need to talk about that,
though. Sharon tried today.
Yeah,
she did.
We did yesterday too.
Yeah.
We were getting into it.
Yeah.
I heard her. I felt her itching, and I was like, Derek's going to ignore her.
I was like, because I want to talk about it. I really do. I just can't.
Well, we were talking about the running thing, too. She's like, well, can't be fast. And we were both like,
Yeah.
It's actually the opposite.
Yeah, totally. My girlfriend actually just got emailed. She got accepted to the Boston Marathon today.
Nice.
That's sick.
Yeah. She's never.
Yeah, but you got to qualify for it.
That's
so you
got
to run a sub 3-hour, 25-minute as a female.
Wow.
So she, it was like 7:20 pace per mile. Insane, huh?
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
She's faster than him. He's trying to catch up.
Yeah, she is.
Were you a runner before you met her?
No. I've been running like a year.
Well, so you're pretty new still.
Yeah. Oh, I'm very. Actually, my first day running was October 1st last year.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Your anniversary soon.
Ever?
Well,
not even in, like, school?
I'd run like a mile or a couple, 3 miles.
Like I'm running as a sport.
You know, but like really running, because I just was like, fuck it, let's train for a marathon.
Oh,
you
know?
And we did it.
I'd like to do that.
The Dirt Guys did a half marathon.
They did a half marathon.
Well, that's what we're doing
at least
on Sunday.
Sam and Sal did.
Huh?
That's what we're doing Sunday.
Yeah.
In Boulder, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying that. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I think you totally should. I think a race is a great way to keep yourself disciplined and like excited because you have a goal to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, and then you really can't slack. And the running is just so good because mentally, you know, it's like you're saying fuck this, I hate this during, and then you finish. You know, for me, I just tell myself like, if I stop right now, I will never sell this business. I will never be successful. Just say that shit to myself, and then I'll end up finishing it. And then like the rest of your day, the decisions you make are way easier than the hell you just went through. You know what I mean?
That's why I tell you all the time.
What's that? We watched a little YouTube video about the bodybuilder that was training for a marathon. He gave himself like 3 weeks or something. Huge dude. He ended up doing
a marathon?
It.
I don't remember.
I think he fell asleep, actually.
Casey Neistat, though, posted another one recently.
Who's that?
Casey Neistat?
Oh,
dude.
That's surprising.
He's the guy that like used to ride around in New York City with his Ray-Bans, recording himself, vlogging back in like early 2000s to like mid 2000s.
Yeah, he's like one of the OG like million follower YouTubers.
Yeah, he's a big YouTube guy.
Yeah,
and the reason why he got into running, he got rear-ended and his femur broke. It's the story of why he got into running and chasing. Like, you always chase something that when people say no, okay, why not, and then go do it. Or like yourself, like I don't want to do it. Yeah, you're going to do it.
Like, yeah.
When you're able to, then it's the same thing Hormozy talks about. Everybody that's successful puts themselves through hell on purpose.
Like, you're totally right. Exactly like what he says. If you're going to build, like, the perfect human, I didn't think he said perfect. Like, if you're going to build a successful human, like, would you put him through a bunch of easy shit? Or would you put him through a lot of hard stuff?
Yeah.
You know? Going through the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's being able to, and when we go talk about teams, like you talk about your team when they're like pulling their hair out because my guy wants specific stuff. I'm in the same side of the other trench. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, totally.
Can you build? I can. I'm different, and you know, there's different people, but being able to then hold on to those guys and build our own family and having certain details, it helps us get better. It helps. And then we exchange. I'll say, okay, well, you want these plans, but I want you to think about the quality without me inspecting it now.
Yeah.
Like, I'll come like a hawk and you're not going to like it. I have to play devil's advocate for the client if it was like my house and I'm dropping a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any, like, if I'm ADD, always checking stuff, I don't want to see anything that's off.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you guys about it.
Well, that's what you got to expect, right?
And that's what we sell. We sell.
So how do you incentivize them?
So it's been our first season together. They started in May. We give them bonuses, like we'll bring them food and stuff, but I'm going to start doing stuff like last year we did a Christmas party for another team. But I'm going to start doing just random like paid stuff. We give them movie tickets. I want to give them things they can take their family to. Obviously we'll do barbecues, but at some point I think it has to be driven like performance. Like if you get XYZ done in this time without any quality issues, performance bonus.
We're building a culture right now, though.
That's the thing, is we're building first.
Like they told us that they are spoiled and they appreciate working with us because they have it good.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but it works though also because they are detail oriented. As much as sometimes we get some fight from them about small things, they want to build badass projects. They want to be proud of the things that they built, you know.
Yeah, they love it.
That has been a struggle. Like our previous teams, I would even ask them, like, are you excited by this? Like, did you look at this job and say, I built that?
Yeah.
And they didn't. They didn't care. That's so weird to us.
It was a paycheck thing, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
And we've never paid low. We've paid upper tier compared to competitors.
Top wages, always. You know? Yeah.
And I'm still looking at paying these guys more, but that's where the employee handbook is coming into play now. You set the standards of each individual has their role, anything from the designer to the driver, you know, and everybody in between, the office staff, me, everybody. It's going to have it on the employee handbook, everybody's responsibilities and their pay rates and what's expected, right?
Yeah, but I would love to hear your opinion on this because we talk about with our dirt friends all the time. He's the only one that buys brand new trucks with the top trim level for the crews.
Yeah.
Because he wants the appearance for the clients that we are a high-end company. He wants the guys, when they are going to work and coming home, to feel like comfortable and happy and proud. Yeah. And the other guys were like, why are you spending all that money? Like, you're just wasting money or whatever.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
There's few people that do that.
All of my guys have a gym membership I pay for.
Nice.
They all get bonuses end of the month. They all have brand new computers, monitors, everything, you know, but we incentivize it in a proper way.
Right.
Like and everybody's incentivized differently. And the only reason why I know that is because I listen to podcasts, books, Charlie Munger. You know, Charlie Munger has two rules for business. Number one, think about nothing but incentives, because everyone's going to be incentivized in a different way. Right. Like some of those guys, their guys might not give a shit what truck they drive. Your guy could, like, that he loves doing that every day, driving that badass truck, you know. So it's like everybody's incentivized different. And then rule number two is get the incentive right. So it's like, what do these people really care about? What do they really want? You know, some people just really want to feel a part of something.
Yeah,
I think the same with us. Like a lot of our guys, they just really want to feel a part of something, and I've heard the same stuff, and I'm super grateful for that. Like, and I think that culture is like, that's what creates success, you know? Because if you have people with you for a long time, I tried to build the vision too. Like, imagine in 10 years, 20 years, what this is going to be. And I push the workout thing a lot on them too, though.
He tries.
But I actually, And because we have a morning meeting every morning at 9, so I'll talk about how my workout went. Because I'm not missing in the morning ever. Gym, run, both mostly. And I'm just not missing it because it's a staple. And now that I have more people too, it's like, if I miss now, I'm not talking about it, like, damn. And so they actually reached out to me and were like, hey, like, we want to be a part of the gym. So I had Zen write him a gym plan too. Oh, Zen's yeah. A beast. He's an absolute dog. So, you know, yeah, I think everybody's just incentivized differently, but I totally agree with you. It's doing those nice things. Like, and if they leave, all right.
Yeah. And that's,
you can't do anything about it. You go get more.
That's another thing too, is it's another kink. Where did you fail there?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what could you have done to fix that?
You don't think about that. You can't. That you can't think about.
No.
That's on them, you know? You give them everything. You gotta, that's the abundance mindset also too, I think, of just like, good for them. They want to go do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you've probably had a job where you left and they were like, fuck you.
I think, you know? We're good at.
And how shitty did that make you feel?
I think
how
we're good
different
at.
It would be if they told you, you know, I wish you the best, you know?
I think we're good at being business owners because we've both had so many miserable jobs.
Yeah,
we don't want to be bad business owners, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's ironic. Like, I could work for somebody else for a little bit, but every day that we do this business, we are working for somebody else.
Yeah,
it's just different.
Yeah.
But we're working for the client.
Totally.
And my guys. Like, one thing I'll say that I'll say about wanting to keep them around and where did I fail is because where did I fail in the culture? Did I give it every opportunity to learn about them too? Did I, you know, not, is there something that I missed? They said something about their personal life that I didn't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that I missed?
Mm-hmm.
So if I have great guys, we build a culture that they want to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's building the vision every day, you know, building the vision, showing them that, hey, there's opportunity to grow and there's look at what we're doing. Like, Sharon's job is so great. You get to use that for the next 2-3 years.
For sure.
Like, look at what we just did.
Yeah.
You know, and look at, we're going to have more of this. But I feel that, dude, I say that, but, you know, it's easier said than done. I would feel the same way, right? If Scott left, I'd be like, dude, what the fuck did I do wrong? He's so excited every day, you know?
Yeah,
so
that's
great.
They're
I totally
great.
Get that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, let's talk about Sharon's job, I guess, to kind of wrap it up. So, like, were you nervous when you sent the estimate?
No. I wasn't. I think you were.
No. I mean, it was really high. But before he sent it, we talked about it for 3 days in a row, 3 nights in a row.
With her or just together?
Together.
Together.
Yeah.
He went over the numbers backwards, forwards, from the middle and out.
Okay, so actually, let's step back. So, like, you know, when you first met her, like, or really, like, what was the process? Yeah.
So, yeah, we just met her in person. Well, so we talked to her over the phone.
Email first.
Yeah, it was email first, but then she wanted to talk to us, so we talked over the phone. We had a great conversation. She liked us. I think she mentioned that to you or somehow. Like we got word, whether she told us directly or not, that she liked us.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she said, I like
her. And it was because I was trying to build that value of, like,
I think after the first time you guys talked, she said, if they have a good price, I'll go with them. That's what she messaged me.
Well, we
which
did
is
a
amazing.
Zoom. And that isn't, well, she's different.
She is.
She's got a different level of money. But
yeah.
We had talked to her through Zoom on different computers, and we were just looking at the design, and I started asking her some questions. I don't remember what they were at this point, but.
Well, what's funny, so we don't lose this, I told her a rough when we were first talking on the phone. And I said, well, based on what I'm looking at, you know, it's this. And she's like, have you seen the plans? Have you checked it? And I was like, I haven't had a chance. I just got them like a day or two ago. Let me get back to my office next week. I will get back to you and I'll give you an actual rough.
Was it close?
I don't remember what I told her, dude. But it was like hundreds.
Sure. I mean, I think we told her like 600 mil. Grand or
something.
Yeah,
I think
like
when I was first ballparking, I was like $500,000 just looking at it.
Yeah, I think that's the number I spit out also.
Yeah.
Without the pool.
Yeah.
But she
was
like, are you sure? Like, and I was like, yeah, I will do my due diligence. I just want you to understand what we're looking at. I mean, if you don't know the price points, like, this is what it's probably going to be. And we did the Zoom. She liked us on Zoom. We had each individual face and set it together so she could really focus on each individual person. Mm-hmm. And then she just liked us, and we presented the numbers in person. Because I was like, at that point, I think because it was so much money, I wasn't worried about the numbers. I was like, this is the biggest job we've done. Like, yeah, I need to make sure that she understands everything.
Yeah.
I sat down with her at her table, and I actually got on a knee because I just wanted to be close to her.
He wooed her.
Jamie Lee jokingly was like, well, the reason why she hired you because you got on a knee. I was like, I don't know, man. But we went over everything, dude. Every item, every cost. I said this could change depending on if you do veneer. It could be roughly this cost by the square footage. Well, how would you build this? And what would you do? And I just started telling her. And then our partnership, too, with Edgewater, that also sealed the deal because the other pool with Kirsch.
So far out.
Yeah, too, well, awesome. It was roughly the same time, but she didn't want to risk having the unlicensed guy. Yeah. And I was like, think about it this way. These guys have built for Toll Brothers. Mm-hmm. They do all their demo stuff, mm-hmm. and they've been really successful. Like, you'll be in good hands. They're going to crank this out, no problem.
Yeah.
And I think the timeline.
It was everything. Really a combination of everything.
Did you try to, like, hard close her in person or no?
She was just like.
She closed us, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, we gave her the number. She said something, and then we said, okay, just let us know. She sent us a text, and she's like, well.
So, but did you try to close? Did you try to get her to sign in person?
I didn't. Mm-mm. I think the conversation was just so normal and natural that it was mm-hmm. just a subtle, like, okay, just talk to me when you're ready or whatever.
I think
she needed to digest it.
We were just coming off of the failure with Manzanares.
Okay.
And that was a really high price. So at this point, we were kind of, like, numb.
Yeah.
And we were like, these are the numbers. It is what it is. We've checked them 1,000 times, like, she's either going to say yes or no. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And like right away she texted us. I don't remember what she texted, but she said something like, congratulations,
you're hired.
Doing my job.
Yeah.
And we're like, that's fuck amazing. Yeah, dude.
So incredible.
I think there was a lot of yelling and high-fiving between us. And
I've met us too. We were hyped.
Hell yeah.
Because I wanted to see it come to life, you know? Because like, dude, for me, for you guys, just for Sharon too, it's going to be an amazing thing that she gets to have forever. But like, mm-hmm. just the opportunity to show people this and like show the world like this project, like this could be everywhere, you know.
She said something that cracked me up. She said, Derek thinks that this is going to be an award-winning project, and I started laughing so hard, and I said, every designer says that. Yeah. I say that all the time.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it should be in Reno, you know.
Dude, yeah, I mean, so we have a buddy, he's in Sacramento area, his name is Dylan Figueroa. And he's got like 100,000 followers on social media. He's part of the group. But he has worked with Heiner. Do you know Heiner? Matt Heiner. He did a water feature with him last year.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And so these are bigger guys. They do millions and millions a year.
He's in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, Heiner. And I'll send him to you. He's called the Yardist. Mm-hmm. And he knows Tom Reber. You know Tom Reber? Contractor Fight?
Yeah, I don't know. No,
another guy in Colorado. Him. So I'll send you those guys.
Okay.
And then these guys know like, big guys on Instagram and YouTube, you know, contractors in the landscape industry. So Dylan has worked with Heiner, and he's going to help us build this water feature because mm-hmm. we talked about it at the event. And I'm like, dude, what if you come and help us out? He's like, I'm down. You know, whatever, just give me a price. Okay, cool, blah, blah, blah. And then my biggest thing was my foreman. I was worried that he might feel like I was just bringing in a guy because I didn't trust him. We've had that kind of like, where he feels like maybe I've been micromanaging. And that's, for me, dealing with years of, like, trying not to let go. And now this year is like, I'm letting go, dude. I don't care. I'm going to let go, but I'm going to make sure you fix it.
Mm-hmm. But mess you it can up and let fix go this time. You
and
couldn't
now we can walk away, dude.
Yeah. That's a tough thing to do as a business owner.
It's hard, dude. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, part of the reason why Sam is so back and forth about handing over his creative, like, you know, stuff.
Totally.
But no, so the goal, I talked to Dylan. I'm like, all right, dude, you're hired. I want you to win an award with your name and my team underneath it. Dylan Figueroa built with Afuera Outdoor Living. I want you to win awards so then I can chase you when you start doing your stuff and we come right after you after that.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm down. But he's all about it. He wants to make this an award-winning thing. I know Edgewater has award-winning pools.
Yeah, they do great. I mean, they do all the Toll Brothers pools.
This pool could be crazy.
This could be sick.
Pool's going to be crazy.
It is sick. Yeah, where you gotta make it.
It's insane. I mean, it's beautiful that it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thankful for you guys for
thank you,
getting it done, you know?
Why did you reach out to us, by the way?
I think that, I don't know. I think, well, you guys were already a pro member, right?
No.
No, Zen hit us up first, and it was through Instagram, but I don't know how he found us.
Probably through
for
Instagram.
Sharon, right? Or was it for Kirsch first?
Oh, no, Kirsch was Kirsch. First.
Kirsch was first.
Yeah. Because they wanted us to grab a couple bids. So we called.
The work that you passed us, we were already a pro, but Zen found us through Instagram first.
Yeah.
And then he hit me up.
Yeah, so actually, before we pitched you guys the pro, I don't even think it was a thing yet.
Nope.
No,
it wasn't even.
You were building it.
Yeah.
First,
I didn't even
about...
know if we were building it. We were just like, because before what we were doing was we were selling. Like, if you wanted us to do a design, right, or if you had a homeowner, most of our contractors would put us in touch with the homeowner. We'd go sell them the package, and at that time we had the Backyard Visionary package marketed at $3,500. But then we were like, hey, instead of us going to the homeowner, if you're willing to invest in it, you think you're going to get the project, pay us $1,500 if you win. The project, just pay us the other $2,000. If you don't win, we'll just call it even at the $1,500. And Zen probably pitched that to you guys.
He did.
I did.
And then, but just like we would just get like once or twice from a contractor a month, you know, and it just wasn't like $1,500 every estimate. That's a lot.
That's a lot to risk. Yeah. You know? That's a gamble.
Yeah. So then it's, yeah. Then the pro membership thing kind of came up.
Yeah. You know, have you seen Yardzen's model for that?
I don't, I just see that they just, are they doing it for free or something?
Oh no, they have a.
They charge. They have a system. It's
they
your
have
system.
A system too. I don't know how it happened, but I got to be. You were busy, but I got to be on a call with the owner, founder of Yardzen.
Yeah.
Inquiring to like five people, like how would you want this to be structured if you were going to pay like a monthly membership or whatever? Already being a member with you, so I like had an understanding. I didn't tell him anything. I was Team Yardzen, but.
Nice.
But he was asking a bunch of questions and like trying to get at what you guys are doing now.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they would deliver the same personal approach that you guys are.
Yeah.
Communication wise.
Yeah, I think they've really messed up. Just, I mean, not messed up. They built an awesome business, but they're in Austin. You know, I've never met them, but like I've talked to so many contractors who meet with them all the time, and they do the same thing. But it's like most of their stuff, they're charging like 5% to 7% of revenue.
Right.
And that's
that
one thing
that contractor.
We hate
then
that.
You got to pass that cost.
Yeah.
You know.
That's
like,
why we said no.
And that's that makes it really tough. So I think even with working with contractors, they're charging and then they also charge the revenue. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He's a really cool guy though. Aside from
they built a
that,
they built a freaking they blew up.
Mm-hmm.
The only way he's gonna maintain what he wants to build, I think, is he has to either. Like completely incentivize something else instead of the commission or lower that thing, because that thing is for every contractor that I've ever talked to about it, they hate it.
They hate it.
Hate it.
I don't know a single guy who's like, I'm happy with this. That's the guy.
His cell phone.
I'll check him out.
He's cool though.
Yeah. I think this could be bigger than that.
I agree, dude.
But I think that they're more homeowner focused.
Yeah.
Right.
I never wanted to be that because I knew you guys would do the sales for me.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Well, that's the point,
they're
too.
They're lead gen. I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be lead gen.
No, your business model is really good. We, before we met you, had talked about wanting to do that also.
Yeah.
Similar
basically
to what you're doing.
Basically what you have, but not.
Yeah.
Because
if you're like pulling in the commission from these bigger projects, like, man, that's a huge profit margin, right? Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
Your overhead is not high compared to that,
no,
I'm assuming.
No, not at all. I mean, my overhead's like 20, 25 grand a month.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes more with bonuses and whatnot.
Yeah, so if you have that steady stream of projects coming in.
And that just allows us to build out the design team. You know, we can hire, I can't hire designers if we don't have the membership. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing, because if we can go sell a bunch of jobs, but what about the next month if I sell three jobs but I have all these people on payroll?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
and there's a need for it too, right?
Yeah,
You're the, it's not an antithesis, but you're the void that Yards End doesn't cover.
Because they're, I don't know anybody else doing it.
They're homeowner based, so being able to be contractor based for the guys, most contractors that do this, most, okay? There's guys that are great at all of it. Most contractors, they just want to build the thing and close out, right? They don't want to think about the design, the creativity. They're builders.
And even the people who want to hire a designer in-house, you know, they're spending more than $5,000, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. I prefer this so much.
Fees, you know, like, even for, you know, like, yeah, just, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I'm the design manager, but I'm not really managing, you know what I mean? Which is nice.
I mean, I'm happy to, again, it's the collective vision, right? So, we're just here to serve.
Yep. You know? 5-10 years, dude, I think. We should do another podcast every year. We should do a podcast every year, dude.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
To check in.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I'm here around this time.
Yeah.
You know, mostly. More in the winter, but.
Yeah.
Oh, for Tahoe?
Yeah.
The ski or snow?
Snowboard. Yeah.
Well, we've been saying for years, the only time we ever went was like 2014.
We do snow removal, so it's really hard to get away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now we don't have to.
We just got to go jump in the... Oh, to go to Austin? Or to go out to Tahoe?
Oh, snowboarding.
Oh, God.
We'd love to go to Austin, too, though.
I could probably get you guys some tickets.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got the plug.
Yeah? Where?
Yeah. Heavenly.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Hook it up, bro.
Yeah. I got some guys
with
some...
You got the plug.
I got some snowmobile guys, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. And my uncle owns Tahoe Green, too, so I don't know if you smoke or anything.
He's got
all the weed there is.
That's cool.
Yeah. Right across from Hotel Beckett, too. How's that, by the way?
Oh, dude, so last time you sent him off something, he's talking to his team about it. His dad just recently passed. So.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where we got to...
Give him his space.
Give him his space.
But he's talking to his team about it. He requested the additional... images, so I sent those off. He said, thanks, talking to my team.
Okay.
So I'll check back with him next week.
Yeah.
He said
we'll probably do some part.
He said the design was great, that everybody did great. For sure. I know. He's the kind of guy that is going to crunch numbers, but he understands the value and he understands price points. Mm-hmm.
He's such a seasoned professional that he doesn't get excited about those kinds of things. Like, it is a transaction, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
He's just moving money to make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. And that makes sense. It's not emotional.
Mm-mm. He's a really nice, cool guy.
He's a great dude.
Yeah, I like
actually, at some point, I'd like to be a GC for some of this stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, shit, most of that is just being able to provide the guys, right?
Yeah.
Provide the guys on the team and manage it.
Mm-hmm. You just need to be, the more knowledgeable you are and the better you're able to communicate and get people, like, understand people, you'd be a great anything, but like a GC specifically, too, in this industry.
Totally.
Because you're just managing a bunch of different people, a bunch of different teams.
Yeah.
And making sure that they have the appropriate management to manage that.
Yeah, if you could time it right, you know. I have a virtual assistant starting on October 7th.
Nice.
I'm hyped. I'm excited. Just to see how she can... how
free
she
up
can
your
benefit
time.
Us, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. So I think it'll be cool. But yeah, one time we'll design a house.
You want to just do a mock-up of your ideas for maybe our house and have them help you?
Yeah,
well we can
it.
Start with your mom's house because, I mean, he showed you the backyard?
Uh-uh.
No? Okay. I have a bunch of stuff to submit to you guys. I've been too busy, but she wants to do like a addition to the side of the house, like a shade structure, but then her kitchen really needs to be remodeled. So we could do that too if you're interested.
Yeah. I want to redesign the whole back.
I'll do it for you guys. For the interior, but I don't want to market that. Hello, everyone. Unfortunately, during the filming of the podcast, we ran out of storage space. Very rookie move, I know. But I hope you guys learned a lot from this conversation. I had a great time. I was super happy to go out and meet with them and walk that new $1 million landscape project with them, go follow Afuera on Instagram at Afuera Outdoor Living. They've been posting daily updates of that new $1 million landscape project that just started, that we designed, that they're installing. And so go check that out. Go follow them. Go support them. If you're in Reno, Nevada, and you need a landscaper, they are definitely your go-to. Appreciate you guys watching. Thanks so much. We'll see you in the next episode.